You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Hello.
Yay. We need like sound effects that are like clapping.
I still think we need an intro song. Like, I know what you play.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Like a specific to us.
Yes.
I feel like it would be probably really goofy.
Well, I'm sure.
To like match our goofiness.
I'm sure. You know, you say sound effects or you say goofiness. So I was in a meeting last night and three of my notifications on my phone went off and I didn't expect them to keep coming, but there were three different ones, and the people in the meeting were looking at me kind of weird because I have different Star Wars sound effects.
Oh, yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
The Imperial March went off for a phone call, and then R2-D2 went off for another thing.
Yeah.
And
I like the Wookiee.
The Wookiee, so I have Chewbacca for my text messages. So, just so everybody in the podcast knows, I did put it on silent right before we started because I didn't want a Chewbacca to go off.
Every time that goes off, though, it makes me laugh. So, you know, it just brings a little joy because there's my senior pastor,
Chewbacca,
the shepherd, one of the shepherds of my soul.
That's right. Chewbacca. That's my text message.
I love it. I love it. I think the first, when you like first changed over your songs and stuff, the Imperial March came on and I was like, who is that for? And you're like, my wife.
Yeah. That's right.
And then you're like, well, it's for everybody.
That's for everybody. Well, that's the thing. So I went back to an iPhone recently. I was Android for a very long time. So
I didn't know you were iPhone before that.
Yeah. So that's why I have all those back.
Okay.
Because that was always on my other iPhone. So because of the account, I was like, I was playing through the phone. I was like, I have all my sound.
Okay.
So I never had them on Android.
Because there's like this big like Android versus iPhone like beef.
Yeah.
What do you prefer?
Honestly, I think Android.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I'm trying to get used to this again.
Okay.
The biggest reason I got this was because I use an iPad now for a lot of stuff with church and notes and stuff like that. So it kind of keeps all that linked better.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the biggest reason was, sounds silly, but the biggest reason was I can never FaceTime most of my kids, Amy.
Oh, because they even have iPhones?
They have iPhones.
Oh.
So one of the biggest reasons is like, I don't like not being able to FaceTime.
Right.
If I wanted to. Okay. So
someone I'm friends with, like on the internet, that sounds really bad, but like we're friends because like of like books and Christian stuff on Instagram. Yeah. Anyways, she had recently said that like people that are in group chats that are Android users when it's like all iPhone people that we ruin because I'm an Android that we ruin the group chats. And so I don't understand why. Yeah. Like, why do we ruin the group chats?
Well, one of the things I never liked, which now I can do it. And I won't say it ruined group chats, but Android, at least the one I had, I couldn't. So you guys with iPhones are now, so text messages, how you can do a thumbs up for a message or a heart. Like, I can never do that.
You could like it.
Like or, it or do see, that.
See, I can do that and I'm an Android user.
See, I couldn't do that on mine.
Huh. That's interesting.
So there's little things like that.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe.
I think it's just I was used to my Android.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anytime I've had to like do something on someone else's phone that's an iPhone, I'm always so confused.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be much help trying to help you with your phone because I don't know how to use this.
The biggest frustration is I take a lot of screenshots because the Android, it was on the right side with my thumb for the volume and now it's on the left. So I'm trying to get, even how you hold it gets messed up. So there's a lot of times I'm pushing buttons and all of a sudden it's taking like screenshots and stuff. And I'm like, I don't want that.
Yeah. That's funny.
So it's little things like that.
Yeah.
That just trying to get used to.
I think there's just always going
to
be beef.
You know? I just wanted to see my beautiful wife when I wanted to FaceTime.
Oh, that's so sweet of you to say. All right. So on that note, because we don't want to
get beautiful
into
wife.
Or anything. Yeah. Let's get into
judgment.
Chapter eight. So we've got one last seal, and then we get into the trumpet judgments. So the last seal is, you talked about it on Sunday, about the silence in heaven for about a half an hour, which I love that language, about a half an hour. And so I loved the way you described it, how it was like just awe. And I like that picture a lot. So I already told you this, but the study I did had referenced like the fact that there's silence in the throne room, like who has ceased from their labors? Mm-hmm. Everyone, right? And so like silence is only possible when all labor has ceased. And so it just is a very, like, this is a rest. And the Bible teacher compared it to like the creation narrative. And so like I think I mentioned it before, we've seen kind of like a decreation of mm-hmm. Genesis here. Like on the seventh day, God rested in the original creation narrative. And so here we see rest in the seventh seal. And I'm like, boom, I love that. Like, that's mm-hmm. so cool. And so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very awesome comparison that I hadn't heard of until you mentioned
well,
it.
Well, and it's interesting because, like, as we've gone through these seals, it's, like, been building up and building up. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's just, like, rest.
This is pause.
Yeah, and so that's interesting to me. Like, why rest, you know? And so
this also reminds me of, you know, the other podcast, if everybody had been listening to the other ones, that we talked a little bit of. This proves again to me that God is not doing these things out of an emotional reaction, right? Because mm-hmm. you don't rest. You don't pause.
Right.
You don't have a respite if you are emotionally, you know, reacting. So we mm-hmm. talked about that in the last podcast, I think, was God's wrath is not an emotional response of just, you know, out of control. So that reminds me with that too. It shows that he's very intricate in what he's doing and the plan that he has. And this is part of it too. So
as we move into the trumpet judgments, one thing that we'll see is that they echo a lot of the language of the plagues in mm-hmm. Exodus.
Yep.
But then my question too is, are the trumpet judgments in response to the prayers of the saints that we saw in chapter 6?
Mm-hmm. I would say, are they necessarily in response? I don't know if I would say... that's an interesting question. I don't know if I would say they were in response in the sense like that's the catalyst of what made God do them.
Right. This was his plan all along.
This was his plan. Yeah, that's right. The point. Yeah. Right. I think they're interlinked, of course, with one another in the sense mm-hmm. like, you know, God. That's what I loved about going back to the prayers of the saints is just that encouragement of prayers that are offered in faith through Jesus Christ are never prayers offered in vain, no matter what the prayer is. Those prayers are always being presented before God. And I just think that that's a beautiful thing that we have to be encouraged and remembered with is when we come in faith with Jesus, our prayers are always being lifted up before God. Mm-hmm. Like I said on Sunday, though, these are prayers, or when we talked about those prayers, I think that is the one prayer that's been universally prayed by every Christian is, you know, come Jesus, come. So yes, we're seeing the fulfillment of those prayers. I would say that, you know, is it in response? No, it was always God's plan, but we're seeing the fulfillment of those prayers. You mm-hmm. know, how many, even now when we pray that prayer, Lord, come, you know, and there's a lot of people praying. There's always been a lot of people praying, but you hear people say it all the time now. It's like, oh, the world's getting bad. Lord Jesus, come, you know.
Yeah.
This is now we're seeing it fulfilled, right? So mm-hmm. no prayer ever goes unanswered. So we're now seeing the answers coming. So
Yeah. So before we get into Wormwood, because it's such a weird thing, right?
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about any of the other trumpets?
Not necessarily. I think ultimately, though, and everybody, you probably already see this as you read through Revelation. This is why it gets harder, because the judgments get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're starting to see these are... every judgment from here on out are judgments directly being poured out from God, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as I said, like the seals, some of the seals I see more as just the natural consequences of the wickedness of man. Now we're seeing these are actually from the hand of God. Mm-hmm. The bowls are going to be even worse, right? Mm-hmm. We're building with intensity. So that's just something that people need to remember is they're just building with intensity. And that's why we see, and also, we don't need to go through them specifically, but those first ones especially, those are judgments upon creation itself,
mm-hmm.
right? So you kind of go back, like there's a decreation thing. Like mm-hmm. these, you know, and when I was studying this, I had the thought, this speaks of the severity of sin. No sin is in isolation. It impacts more than we ever could imagine, right? And the Bible tells us that, like, creation, you know, Paul said all of creation is groaning because of the sin that it's been subject to.
Yeah.
Right. So there's consequences to sin. And so I just thought about that for myself, that even though I think I have a sin that is in isolation and it only impacts me, there's no such thing as a sin that only impacts me. Mm-hmm. There's ramifications, and we're seeing that, right? Man is suffering through these, but these are judgments directly upon creation. So
yeah,
it's just an interesting the way God just keeps rolling this out. So mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Let's talk about Wormwood.
Okay, let's talk about Wormwood.
Like, it just feels like almost like it doesn't belong. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, because I don't. But we've seen it in Scripture.
Yeah.
So we've seen it in Exodus, right? It's in Exodus. Yeah. Where Moses throws a log into the water to make the water sweet.
It becomes bitter.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Bitter water. And then, yeah. Yep.
And then we see it in, my reference I have is Jeremiah 23:15, which I'll read that, 'cause I couldn't remember what it was. Therefore, this is what the Lord of armies says concerning the prophets. I am about to feed them wormwood and give them poisoned water to drink, for from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has spread throughout the land. Hmm. And so my commentary basically said, like, wormwood is a bitter herb, which I think you already said that on Sunday. And it's Artemisia is like a plant, is what wormwood is. And it's used in the Old Testament to punish the sin of idolatry, basically, which is the Exodus reference. Taking the log and throwing it into the water, and the bitter water is made sweet. So, like, basically she said that this is a reversal of that story here, where God is making sweet water bitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's what I love again about Revelation, is there's a spiritual aspect to it, but then I also think there's the physical reality of it. So that's what I love about that is there is a spiritual reality to wormwood and the water becoming bitter. I think the number one thing to look at it, what's interesting about it is, what's one of the ways that Jesus is described, right? He's the living water, right? So we're seeing... It's kind of, if you go back to Romans, what's one of the things that God says, that, you know, when you read Romans chapter 1, and it talks about the wickedness of man, and one of the things it says in there is God, it's not necessarily that God is judging in the sense that he's throwing a judgment out in Romans, but it says God handed them over to their, like, their wickedness, basically. And so you got to remember here is the world that is rejecting Jesus as the living water, and God's basically like, well, I'm going to give you what you want then.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's another, and it's doing it in a physical way that has also a spiritual reality.
Yeah.
You're rejecting the living water of Jesus Christ. So here you go. Here's the bitter water that kills.
Giving us over. And
giving you over to what, you know. And that's what's interesting when you think about people that, even in our world today, that want to shake their fist at God because, how come you're not doing this? And it's like, you can't blame God for, you know. It's one of those things that I've always thought was funny is the mentality of, let's say it's hailing outside and I'm protected under a shelter. I can't get mad at the hail if I choose to walk out from beneath the shelter and get slammed by.
Right.
Like, but that's what people do. You know, like, how dare you? And it's just like, you're just getting what you asked for. That's what you wanted. You can't blame God for that. And so I think that's what I love about this is there's a spiritual aspect to it, but then there's also the physical. There will be a physical judgment where people will die because the water is turned poisonous somehow. I don't know how that is. But we always, you know, people, that's where I try to say, like, I always would encourage, don't over spiritualize it. Not saying like what we're talking about is that, but trying to take away the fact that this is a reality that's going to happen too.
Because
sometimes people do that with, like, oh, what's wormwood? And like, what's this? You know, they want to turn it into.
Sure.
Something's going to happen. A falling star is going to, blazing star is going to fall to the ground, and it's going to poison a third of the water.
Yep.
And man is going to die from it. So. Yeah.
Yep.
One of the things that I was telling you before we did the podcast that I thought was interesting is there's always things that happen that people want to jump on to say this proves that the end times are happening or this already happened. And I was telling you that, so Chernobyl, when it happened, so those of us that are old enough or remembered at least, I don't think I was 70s? I think Chernobyl was in the
70s. I'm terrible with history.
Like, I think it was before I was born. But anybody that doesn't know the story that's listening, Chernobyl was a nuclear power plant, a city in Ukraine that had a nuclear meltdown. And that area of the world is still uninhabited. They can't. It's completely destroyed because of the nuclear meltdown that happened there. It was the worst nuclear disaster that's ever happened. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is there was a professor during that time. Okay, so it was in my lifetime. So there was a professor from the Ukraine that actually came out and said that the Ukrainian word Chernobyl actually means bitter or wormwood.
Oh, interesting.
So a lot of people jumped on that to say, oh, biblical, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So there are some people that, and again, I'm not saying this might not be the reality. If you think about the breakdown in society that's going to be happening during this time, you think about all the nuclear power plants that we have around the world.
Yeah.
If they're not being properly maintained.
One right next to us.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they're not being properly maintained, there is the possibility of meltdown. Mm-hmm. So that is one theory towards this. There is this, like, the star coming from heaven, but there has been a theory that maybe that is a way that, because that's destroyed the land around Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. It's made it bitter. Like, they can't plant there. They can't do anything there.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that is one theory that this could be, again, a ramification of God's judgment using actual things in our world what if some nuclear power plants melt down? And
that's crazy.
This turning of it's poisoning the water and it's poisoning the land. And
which, I mean, that feels very like relevant and like
that's what I'm saying.
Thing that could happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting about Revelation. Again, it could be one of two things. It could be something as natural as that.
Yeah. As literal as that.
Or it could be as natural as God throws down a blazing star because God can do whatever he wants. Right.
Sure.
It's kind of the same thing with, I was listening to somebody trying to talk about, Jonah and the whale, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, what fish was it that swallowed Jonah? Because these are the fish that live in that sea. And could this fish do it? And it's like, well, I think we need to settle the fact that if God wants a big fish, God could snap his fingers and there's a big fish, right? Like, he could create a big fish just for that moment. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. Like, it could be something very natural.
Yeah.
Or it could be God snaps his fingers and creates a big star that falls to the earth.
Yep.
See, we always want to make it like, what meteor is it going to be? And are we going to track it? And do we already see it?
Because we want to know everything.
We want to know everything. I know.
Yeah. We want to be able to explain everything. We want to be able to explain.
But I also think there's that underneath part of us as humans that want to think that we can stop it. Like, if it's this meteor,
Armageddon style,
if it's going to hit us and we see it in enough time,
we can stop the will of God.
Yes. Like, we can do something about it and it won't happen. It's like, no, you can't.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
I
just think it's interesting, especially that, and I love how you're asking about it because it does seem really out of place. Like, he names that one.
Yeah.
Like, and it's named. Mm-hmm. It's a capital W, you know. Yeah. It's like he's naming it.
Yeah.
I
don't know. It's just, I always think that the language that God chooses to use too is always so interesting to me. And so, like, there's a purpose, there's a reason. Nothing is just for the heck of it, you know? Going back to the first section of chapter 8, where it talks about the prayers of the saints and like the incense offering, like that's a place where we can look at and say, oh, that's some tabernacle language, some Exodus language. And so I'm wondering, because Exodus basically tells us that incense was to be like a regular offering, right? Mm-hmm. Before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so if incense is symbolic of prayer, what does this mean for our prayer lives, do you think?
If incense is symbolic of prayer, what is this, you know? Well, I don't know if this is the answer. I'm not saying you're looking for a specific answer, but you know, again, I just go back to when I read that, It reminds me of a couple things, or it makes me encourage me with a couple things. Mm-hmm. One, again, is the fact that my prayers are not in vain.
Mm-hmm.
How often have you ever heard this said, or maybe you felt this, maybe you even said it, is, you know, how often you feel like sometimes you're praying and you feel like your prayers are going up about 5 feet and then just fall into the ground.
For sure.
Right? Like, that's our feeling of it. Yeah. Right? But any prayer that's prayed in faith in Jesus Christ, the this image tells me my prayers are constantly going up before the Lord, right? Like, he hears my prayers, even if I feel like they're falling flat to the ground. The other thing that I love about this is why this should encourage us is because incense, the reason that symbolism there in the temple and now, is it's a sweet aroma to God, which means God wants to hear my prayers. Like, how often do we not pray because we think God doesn't want to listen? Like, God don't want to hear from me. God don't want to. But,
well, I love how you said it that way too, the aroma, because then it makes me think of like how we're supposed to be the aroma of Christ, right?
So that's an encouragement to me. I don't remember it a lot when I need to, but as I'm talking about it now, it's that encouragement, right? Is the other thing that I love about this, and I didn't talk about this at the sermon, but this is a biblical thing in Hebrews. We are told the temple and the tabernacle that were in Israel, so an Old Testament stuff, the tabernacle is but a shadow of the temple in heaven, right? So When we read in the Old Testament, you're reading about the altar and you're reading about the basin and you're reading about how the sacrifices were done. Hebrews tells us that that is but a picture of a reality in heaven. So the altar in the tabernacle represented a picture of an altar that exists in the presence of God. Right. So you picture the, because it talks about the language in Revelation about the horns, right? It says like there was a voice that came from the horns of the altar. That's a direct reference to an altar that is before God. And we have to remember something extremely amazing is when I believe this from scripture. The Old Testament shows us the picture of sacrifices, and the priests would go and pour the blood. They would present the blood at the altar. Right? Jesus is our high priest and our sacrifice. When Jesus ascended into heaven, well, not when he ascended, but when he, because when Mary interacts with him and he tells Mary, do not hold on to me. I have not yet gone to my Father. I believe that's a reference and a picture. And then Hebrews tells us that Jesus entered into the presence of God and he offered the sacrifice of his blood on the altar of heaven. Right? So this is, in my opinion, when you hear this imagery of him scooping up the fire of, you know, it's like either that altar is the source of your salvation or it's going to be the source of your judgment. Right? Like, that's what we're seeing here. It's like, either you are covered under the anointing of the altar fire because that sacrifice has been offered and you have accepted it, or it's going to be the source of your judgment. And he's scooping this up and he's pouring it out. And then we enter into the next round of judgment from God. So a lot of Old Testament, New Testament, you know, imagery and pictures.
Which is so cool. I love it.
It is. It is.
So the next question I have, if we look at verse 13. So like at the very end of chapter 8, he says, then I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. So let's look at that. Woe, woe, woe. And just from like studies I've done and just Bible, just knowing Bible stuff, like anytime that things are said three times in a row,
pay attention.
We need to pay attention, right? Because we, Jesus says truly, you know, like, I feel like, what was the other time? Did he already, was there already a holy, holy, holy?
You have holy, holy, holy when in reference to God and before the throne.
And so, okay, so what is the significance? What is, do we know what the significance of the woe, woe, woe?
Well, one, I agree with you in scripture. There is, when you hear some three times in ancient language, that is purposely repetitive. But in this case also, I think it basically defines it for you, because notice what it says. It's like three woes. Why? Because there's three more trumpet blasts. So each woe is like, listen, there's whoa, 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 because there's a six or a fifth, sixth, and seventh that's about to happen. And so I always read that as each woe is kind of like, there's three more and it's going to get worse. And that's what we were talking about before. These were bad, but the next three are even worse, because the next three are judgments that are poured out specifically upon man. Because that's why, notice what they say there. He says, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of earth.
Yeah.
So it's not just woe to the earth, it's woe to the inhabitants of earth, because the next three are going to be judgments poured out directly upon man. Mm-hmm. Not like man is suffering through the judgments on creation,
right.
But you're going to suffer now under these next three. And again, this is where we've talked about it in each podcast. This, in my opinion, is another example of God's mercy. He's letting the, like, it's one thing to judge somebody. It's another thing that you're giving them the warning before it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to punch you. I could just haul out and punch you.
Right.
Or if I tell you, I'm going to punch you. Like, yeah. I've kind of prepared you.
Right.
Like, you might want to do something about it. Like,
I'm giving you a chance. Punch you first or, yes. Or duck.
Like, I'm giving you a chance to, and I feel like this is, again, God warning. Not, and this is what I love about it. Look at his warning, though. His warning is twofold. He's giving the warning because he gave John the revelation that we're reading now. So anybody mm-hmm. in the world can read this warning. But this is also, he's telling them of an actual warning that he's going to give by mm-hmm. sending an angel to make this declaration. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how awesome is God's mercy trying to warn people of what's to come?
Yeah.
Nobody can sit there and say, that wasn't fair.
Right.
I didn't know. It's like, mm-hmm. no. God, what more do we want God to do, mm-hmm. basically, is what we have to read this as. Mm-hmm. What more other than him not doing the judgment? And that's ultimately what people want. Right. Nobody wants to say it, but that's what, well, just don't do it. It's right. Like, that's not going to happen.
Well, and we've also seen in a lot of the other judgments that, like, it's been partial.
Yep.
It hasn't been complete. And so do you think maybe this means also, like, this is utter destruction, this is the utter judgment.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, because when we get to, so these next three, we see, well, we covered the next two in the sermon. Mm-hmm. So the next two judge trumpets, we talked about that also. They are partial still, mm-hmm. but that third trumpet is what brings in the seven bowls. Mm-hmm. So the seventh seal brought in the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet brings in the seven bowls.
Yeah, they're all connected.
They're all connected.
Yeah, bleed into one another.
So that third woe, yeah, these are all been partial. The trumpets have all been partial. Mm-hmm. But when we get to the bowls, mm-hmm. that's it.
Yep.
Like, once those are done,
yeah.
it's over. So, yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's like you're... The clock is ticking.
Yeah.
Your opportunities are slowly, like, mm-hmm. not slowly, they are rapidly now. Mm-hmm. Your chance to repent is...
Right. But so what you're saying is we're seeing God is still being kind.
He's trying, yeah.
Still giving he's people time. He's trying to reach people. Yeah.
Because you got to remember, during all of this, these 144,000 witnesses are still out there proclaiming Jesus. Mm-hmm. This next week, we're going to talk about the two witnesses mm-hmm. that are proclaiming Jesus. So in the midst of all of these, we have to understand there's a lot going on during all of this
yeah.
that is still God trying to reach people. So not only has he sent an angel to make this declaration, mm-hmm. he has sent out his witnesses right. into the world.
Right.
So yeah, he's constantly trying.
Right. And then also these disasters that are happening are signs.
Signs of his glory.
Yeah.
And not only that, think about this. The mm-hmm. Bible still exists.
Yeah.
Right? The Word of God is still there. So mm-hmm. again, it goes back to somebody really has to ask the question, what more do we expect God to do?
Right.
To try to reach
yeah.
people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you think about
that's
this.
Fair.
And you think about this. I'm not saying like when the tribulation happens, someone's going to stumble along our videos and our. But think about all the information that's out there that mm-hmm. people are going to have access to seek truth mm-hmm. during this time. In just the last 20 years.
Oh my gosh!
How much stuff yeah. has been talked about in books and mm-hmm. podcasts and videos that are out there? You know, and because I remember anybody that read the Left Behind books. Mm-hmm. I remember reading it, and I mean, what was that, 20 some years ago? So, you know, internet was new and there mm-hmm. wasn't like what we have today. And I remember in the movie or in the book, it was really interesting because the reason that the main characters, many of them came to faith in Jesus is because the pastor at the time that was raptured in the church, mm-hmm. he made a video cassette and they found it and they had it in the church. He made a If You're Left Behind video
yeah.
cassette. And I remember thinking like, well, that's so cool. Like other churches should do that, you know,
capsule.
That's what I'm saying. Like in your brain, you're like, make a video, get yeah. the video camera out and do that. And just think about it.
Let's
now
it.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
So again, if there was ever proof that God is preparing the people that are going through this for what they need
yeah.
to find Jesus, what else does he have to do?
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right. Final thoughts on chapter 8.
No. Oh, I was sitting here like, we're done? Oh, we didn't even get it. That's 9. So, mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
No, I think 8's very...
It's a pretty short little chapter.
Yeah, and I think it's very straightforward. Mm-hmm. That's what I would encourage people. This is a chapter, read it very straightforward. Mm-hmm. Like, don't try to... And again, I said it on Sunday, don't get so wrapped up in how is it going to happen. Focus on the result. Like, God will make it happen how God wants it to happen.
Yeah. And we can speculate focus on the all result. Day
yes.
about that.
Focus on the result
yeah.
of why. So
perfect. Hey. I like it. All right. Thanks for listening.